Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, Old Testament, one of the what we call the minor prophets. He wasn't minor, though. The only reason they're called minor is because they have smaller space in the Bible. The major, guess what the major prophets occupy? Larger space in the Bible. So the major prophets were the Isaiah and Ezekiel and the big books. The minor prophets were the 12 that occupy smaller space. Did you know the books of Paul go from the largest being Romans down to the smallest being Philemon? And that's how they're categorized, not by geography, not by how they happened in time. They're just largest to smallest. That's a Bible lesson for today. You can thank me for that later. Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Keep your finger right there in your Bible or your marker, because we're going to go back to Nehemiah. But today I'm going to start preaching just on one word, and that's the word yes. The word yes is a powerful word. You can say yes, and it can open amazing doors for you in your life. And you can say yes to some things, and it will lead you down a path of destruction. Yes is a powerful word. But there's something about yes that I want to focus in on these next few Sundays. And that is, whatever we say yes to, we automatically say no to a whole lot of other things. Because when you commit and say yes to something, you're automatically saying no to a lot of other stuff. Don't be like Conley in our video, who said yes to everything. Then when it came time for church, he was worn out with yes and just said no and snoozed the phone. Whatever you say yes to is powerful and releases something incredibly powerful in your life. The word yes has the power to change our perspectives. The word yes has the power to do something and unleash God's blessing in our lives. If you've never said yes to the Lord, I hope you will by the end of this service, that you'll say yes to Him and yes to everything He has. But I want to focus on one particular aspect of yes, and that is saying yes to the purpose that God has for our lives. Because I believe God has a purpose for each person's life in here. I believe each one of you have a purpose to fulfill in God. And we can use purpose with a big P. You've got this life's purpose that God's called you to. And we can use purpose with a small P. And that is, every day of your life, you should live on purpose. Every decision, everything you do, when you get up in the morning, I'm going to be a blessing to someone. I'm going to live in faith today. I'm going to serve God. You can say yes to the little things and yes to the overarching big thing. Amen? The Apostle Paul said no to his heritage and yes to Jesus. Moses said no to a life of luxury, possibly in Egypt, and yes to the call of God on the mountain. Amen? No and yes. But what about purpose? When we say purpose, the definition of purpose means a restriction. That when I say I'm going to follow this certain purpose for my life, it restricts me to a certain field of play. Other things get excluded from that. If I say my purpose in life is to be a professional athlete, last night I ate pizza in Virginia Beach. That may have to be restricted if I want to be a professional athlete. And I could go on and on, but y'all get where I'm coming from, right? You have to restrict your view. And the further we get along in life, you know, John Maxwell said leadership is like a pyramid, that the further you go along in life and the further you climb, the more narrow the top of that pyramid becomes. When you're young and you're 18, you have 50 different things you'd like to do in life or possibilities for you. But then once you get about 35 and a couple kids, it narrows down. Then when you turn 50, as some people have, you get down to few things that you're invested in. And you're like, man, I got to make this got to go till I'm out of here. You know, and so that's purpose, though. That's purpose. You're defining and refining the purpose God has for your life the longer we go along. Why in the world did I read Nehemiah? Because Nehemiah was a figure who served the king in the palace of Shushan, where the children of Israel had been taken captive. Their city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. The temple where they worshiped God was destroyed. The gates around the city were destroyed. But according to God's promise to the children of Israel, some of them started going back and re-inhabiting the land. When they went back, one crew went back with Ezra the scribe and rebuilt the temple of God so worship could happen again in Israel. But where we pick up the story is really the end of the actions of the New Testament. This is really the end of the New Testament, 430 BC. There, maybe Malachi wrote his letter after this had occurred, but this is the last thing before the 400 silent years before the New Testament. So what's happening is Nehemiah gets word, hey, your people back in Israel, the temple's been rebuilt. Many have resettled there, but there's an issue. There's a wall surrounding the city that's to protect the city, to protect the place of worship, and that wall is in disrepair and it's broken down. And now they're susceptible to every kind of enemy. And when Nehemiah heard this, as we read, it pierced his heart and it drove him to prayer and fasting. And he said, I have to do something. He found his purpose. He found his purpose. I have to do something. You know, our life's purpose is often found in the things that disturb us, the things that keep us up at night. The things that we want to change. I know I can change this. I know I can make a difference. Think about Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb. Yeah, no one had done that before. They're reading by candlelight. And somehow he's thinking, I can change this. I can change this. Think of Henry Ford and the guys. They're riding on horses, thinking, I can change this. I can make a difference in this. Amen? Amen. But the problem we fall into, y'all hang with me because this is some stuff I just want y'all to get, and you're still going to make it to City Grill or Hardee's or wherever you're going. Often we make the mistake of trying to figure out our purpose by looking at other people. You see, we're created beings. And if a created being asks another created being what his purpose is, the other created being may miss it because he's not the creator. I used the example this morning of two guitars on stage. One's an acoustic over here. This is a Martin acoustic, a really nice guitar made in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. This is a Schecter electric that I play made in Southern California. They serve two different purposes. One's acoustic, one's electric. They have a different sound, created in a different way. I don't see the Schecter running over to ask the Martin what he should do. Or the Martin running over to ask the Schecter. If we want to know what that guitar is designed to do, I need to call Southern California and talk to the guys who engineered that thing. Because they have creative license over that copyright. And they can tell me exactly what it was created to do. Listen, every one of you were created in the image of God. And only God fully knows what your purpose is in life. I can give you some advice, Some others around you can encourage you and give you some advice, but you need to go before the Lord in prayer and let Him download exactly what He created you to do. And let Him download what your creative purpose is. And when you do that, you're released from the bondage of other people's opinions. Because when you say yes to God's purpose, you automatically say no to people's opinions. When you say yes to God's purpose, you automatically say no to popularity. That's good enough to shout on right there. I think it's in Acts. I thought of this in the morning service. I need to look it up. But anyhow, God called Paul to a certain city, and he said something like this to him. I have delivered you from the people I'm sending you to. And the way I interpret that is, Paul, I'm sending you to some people. They're going to have opinions about you, and they did. Some of them are not going to receive you, and some of them didn't. Some of them were persecute you, and some of them did. Some of them thought they had killed him and left him for dead outside the city. But he said, guess what? I'm delivering you from their opinions before you ever get there, so you can be free to say what I've called you to say and do what I've called you to do and be who I've called you to be. Can somebody, is anybody awake in here? Hallelujah. Can you shout amen? Amen. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purpose of God. Living for the approval of people. So I'm going to give you three things to take home here. First of all, is saying yes to purpose means saying no to distractions. Saying yes to purpose means saying no to distractions. When we say yes to something, then that means we have to eliminate the distractions that keep us from the focus that we're on right now. If you go to Nehemiah again into chapter 6, we'll see this story progress. What happens in chapter 4 is the enemies of Nehemiah who come around. They come around and they start discouraging him. Then we get over to chapter 6. Here come the enemies again to discourage Nehemiah. And verse 1 says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, came. The rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not yet hung the doors and the gates. He's saying, I'd finished it for all practical purposes. I still had a few things to finish off. That Sanballat and Geshem went to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. They came and they couldn't get him down from the wall and they couldn't discourage him in chapter 4. So they came back in chapter 6. And this time they're saying, hey, come on down and let's talk about this thing. And we want to meet you in the plains of the valley of Ono. And I think it's just profound that in English it comes out, oh no. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to follow the enemy and meet him down in the valley of oh no. And have a discussion. Because when we enter into a discussion with the enemy, sometimes we've lost already. Nehemiah says, hey, notice what Nehemiah says. He says, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them. And here's what the message Nehemiah sent back to them. Here's what it said. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? You see, I have purpose, and what I'm doing is more important than coming down and squabbling with you over whether I should be doing this or not. Right now, I'm just going to stick with what God said, and what God said is good enough, and I'm going to stick with this work, because if it's a work for God, it's a great work, and I'm going to continue until the work is completed. Can somebody shout amen? So if you're doing the work of God, you're living for God this morning, you keep after it. You keep doing what God called you to do. And you don't worry about the distractions or the temptations that come your way. Come on, you're raising kids, you're doing a great work. Don't worry about the distractions. Don't worry about others. But look, they're out here on the lake and they're riding the boats and they're doing the fishing and I'm here changing diapers. Don't you be discouraged. You keep doing what God's called you to do. Maybe you're working at a job and maybe it's not where you ultimately want to be, but you're working there because you're providing for your family. You keep doing that great work that you've set your hand to, and don't be discouraged by others. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you're saving up your money and you're paying off debt, so you're carrying a brown bag lunch to work every day. Maybe the other guys are laughing at you. Let them go on and laugh. You've got a greater purpose than they understand, because you're going to be debt free one day. Come on, somebody. When you get purpose, it eliminates distractions. Say yes to this. I can't come down. I can't quit doing what I'm doing because it is a great work. Second thing, saying yes to purpose pushes you through the pain. Saying yes to purpose means I can make it through this pain. I can do this. I can do this. I see Jerry out here. Jerry is a Marine. I've heard you never were a Marine. You always are a Marine. I talked to Jerry a while back, and he went through Paris Island boot camp. And I had a young man in my church back right after 9/11 happened in Washington, D.C., a young man in my church, a great young guy. He got so fired up over 9/11, he came to me one day and said, "Pastor, I've joined the Marines." I was like, "All right, dude." He came back after Paris Island and came to church. And he looked like he had seen a ghost. He was like, "I made it, man." But you could tell this boy had been through the ringer. But you know what? There was a purpose. There's a pinning. There's a celebration. There's a graduation. Then you walk on that parade field and you're inducted into the Marine Corps. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it isn't I once was, I always will be. I've made it, hallelujah. There's a purpose greater than the distraction, greater than the stuff I'm pushing through. I have something on the other side. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I heard the other day a story of Jim Thorpe. Wasn't it Jim Thorpe who was the great runner in the Olympics and like blew everyone's record away? But he was a Native American. Well, someone tried to sabotage him before the final meet in the Olympics. So they stole his shoes. They stole his shoes. So he went and found two shoes, but they didn't fit. And they were not the same. So he put one on, and then the other one was so big, he put a bunch of layers of socks on and put the other one on. And you can see after he won the gold medal, a picture of his feet, and they're two different shoes. But you know what? He got on that field and still outran everybody. Because it wasn't about shoes. It was about what was in here. It was about purpose. I have something that's eliminating the distraction and it's pushing me through the pain to the other side. Come on, how many of you ladies have ever had a baby? Some have had many of them, right? Come on, you knew there was, well, this is a little bit of an unfair advantage, but you knew there was a purpose that pushed you through the pain. Only deal with this example is there was no way out of this. But nonetheless, you made it because a purpose was coming. Maybe you're like my wife Jackie when we had she had. Listen, guys. I always counsel men when their wives are pregnant, you support and shut your mouth and don't say anything unless you're spoken to. All the ladies set? Yeah. So we went to the hospital. Jackie was up all night with Alex, and she I didn't know it, but I was sleeping like a log. And she got ready, got all her clothes on, and she's sitting in a rocker all night long. Because she said, "Hans, I think," and she finally woke me up. She said, "Hans, I think I'm in labor." And I'm like, "Really?" So I get ready, and we get in the car, and we drive. We were living in Virginia Beach at the time. I drove to Virginia Beach General, and Jackie said, "I drove the slowest I've ever driven in my life." I'm driving Miss Daisy, man. And we get there. We go up to the second or third floor, whatever the maternity ward was, and we get off. And we go to the counter, and we talk to the nurses. And Jackie said, "Listen, I think I'm in labor." They said, "Girl, if you think you're in labor, you're probably not in labor." Well, they took her in a room and examined her, and she had dilated to 6. She just hadn't felt it yet. Hers came in an interesting way. It was just, she would just shake and then it would be over. But once they laid her down, I'm talking the pain came. And now this is the way Jackie counsels all of the young ladies in our churches. Take drugs, all the drugs they'll offer you. Take them all. So you got to understand her mindset. They said, do you want epidural? Yes. And anything else you have to offer. So they laid her down and they came in and they examined her. And then they said, we have a problem here. The guy who does the epidural is caught down in surgery right now. Jackie is like. So they leave the room and she's going for it, man. She's Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, praying. I'm like, I'm thinking, could you keep it down a little bit? You're going to embarrass us. And then finally she looks and she says, Hans, tell them I have cash money right over in my purse and I'll offer cash money. Purpose pushes you through pain. I don't know. So eventually the doctor came in and she was so great. She said, I wasn't coming in here till the guy came to give her the epidural because I heard her all the way down the hall. Come on, say it with me. Purpose pushes me through the pain. Purpose pushes me through the pain. You have a purpose on your life. Well, I can't go to church. There's hypocrites in that church. There's hypocrites in every church. You're not going to church for the hypocrites. You're going to church for Jesus. And because there's a destiny on your life. I can't go to church. Somebody talked about me. Do you realize how much they've talked about me? I don't go because somebody talked about me. I'm going because I'm serving Jesus. And there's a destiny on my life I must fulfill. Come on, hallelujah. Don't let the opinions of others and the pain of their disgust or their talk or whatever, don't let that keep you from the destiny God has on your life, especially if you're a leader. If you're a leader, one thing that comes with leadership is criticism. It's not easy. I've not dealt with it that well, but bless God, I'm learning that if I'm going to lead, there's going to be critics, but I'd rather lead and do what God's called me to do than sit at home and suck my thumb and be afraid of what anybody says. Go do what God's called you to do. There's a destiny, there's a purpose, there's an anointing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. Final thing is saying yes to purpose then empowers you to do what God says and to please God. It opens the door to a whole avenue of blessing when you say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. I'm going to say yes to the best. I'm going to do it. And when you do that, God gives you power and he gets behind you and he gives you that divine push. I think about Peter and John, Acts chapter 3. They just come out of the upper room. Acts chapter 3, they come into the gate to worship at the temple. They see this lame guy here, had been lame from his mother's womb. They come up and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And they jerk this guy up. And when he's yanked up, strength comes and a miracle happens. And this guy's completely healed. He can walk. He's ambulatory. He begins leaping and jumping and praising God. So what happens? The Jewish authorities go and arrest Peter and John. Bring them before the Jewish council. And after chastising them, they say, okay, now listen, guys. We're going to let you go under one condition. That is that you speak no more about the name of Jesus. Well, man, that was like adding kerosene to the fire. They came out of there, and what'd they do? They went to a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4, and they're praying. Lord, we want everyone to love us. No, that wasn't what they prayed. Lord, their words hurt my feelings. Lord, they didn't follow me back on Facebook. I'm offended. I texted them like 6 minutes ago. They've never texted me back. No, they said, Lord, grant unto your servants boldness that we may go speak in that name. How did just give us a little bit more power, God, because we want to go preach a little bit more. And what did they do? They went right out of there preaching again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They had said yes to Jesus, and there was a divine unction that came with that yes. Hallelujah. That pushed them right into their destiny. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Living to please people keeps you from the purposes of God. But saying yes to God's purpose sets you free from the opinions of others. There's value in being liked by people, but there's greater value in being loved by God. You know, there's value in having comfort in life, but there's a greater value in obeying the call of God on your life. There's a value in having fun with friends, but there's a greater value in being faithful to God and what He's called you to do. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you to keep on saying yes. Keep on doing what God's called you to do. Keep on witnessing to the people at your workplace. Keep on praying for your husband. Keep on praying for your kids. Keep on praying for your spouse. Keep on coming to church. Keep on studying the Word. Keep on getting up early and making some coffee and sitting down and open up and letting God speak to you. Hallelujah. Keep tithing. Keep supporting missions. Keep believing God's going to open doors. Keep witnessing. Keep on fire for God. Keep coming to revival. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Keep working. Keep supporting your family. Come on, keep saying yes, yes, yes. God, I will say yes, and I'll do what you've called me to do. Come on, give Him a praise in here this morning. Maybe you feel like quitting. It's no time to quit. We're just getting started. Hallelujah. It's no time to quit. Jesus is soon to come. The signs of the times are aligning. Things happening overseas like we've never seen before. Things in our culture like we've never seen before. Now, 2019 is the time to be on fire for God. It's the time to be looking for His return. It's the time to be buried in the Word. It's the time to be living by faith. Lord, forgive us, God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for living off the opinions of others. Forgive us, God, for seeking maybe popularity when we didn't even realize we were doing it. God, we're here to serve you. That's our sole desire. It's our one purpose, God. We want to say yes to your will and yes to your way. Yes to the purpose of God in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, when you say yes to God, it may cost you some friends. When you say yes to God, I'm going to be bold here, but it may cost you some family that don't understand, that can't walk with you. To say yes to God may cost you a career. It may. I don't know. But I'd rather be in His will. I'd rather say yes to Him. Where you lead, I'll follow. I'll go with you all the way. Hallelujah. 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 So, you know, we're going to pray, but I've been around some missionaries that have, I'm talking about giving it all. They've given it all. And they're some of the happiest people I've ever been around. Because they stopped trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're just trying to keep up with Jesus. Amen? Well, the neighbor got a new boat. I got to get a new boat. Neighbor got a new Corvette. I'm going to try to get a new Corvette. You know what I do when I see people blessed like that? I shout for them. Man, God, I'm happy to see people blessed. I really am. I'm just happy. But then I'm saying, but my life's my life. And God's calling me to something different. Father, I thank you right now for your word. God, I just pray that you let it sink deep in our hearts today as we say yes to your purpose for our lives. Now, God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, all those listening through internet that will hear it in the future. God, I just pray that they let go and let God have his way in their lives, that they let go and they say yes to Jesus. And we give you praise for doing it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody standing with me, if you would. I'm going to dismiss, but we're going to pray first. Everybody standing with me. Come on, every head bowed and every eye closed, please, in the name of Jesus. And I want to ask you a question before we leave here. Have you, if you've never said yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you. If you've never made a public confession of Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to encourage you and I implore you to do that today, to say yes to him. And you can say yes right where you are, and we're going to pray right where you stand. We're going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're just going to pray for you right where you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to say yes to Jesus, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. You can put it right back down, but just let me know. Me, it's between me, you, and the Lord. Come on, thank you guys. Come on, maybe there's others just saying yes to Jesus. I've never really said yes to him, but today I'm saying yes, God. I want to follow you and I want to do what you say. Hallelujah. How many believers in here do we have that can raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm with you. I want to say yes to the will of God for my life. Let me see your hands in here. Thank you guys. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all pray together in Jesus' name. Pray it out loud. Come on, pray it with these who are making a public confession for the first time. Pray it out loud. Father in heaven, I say yes to you. I say yes to your will. I say yes to your way. I say yes to your purpose. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all sin. And wash me in the precious blood of Jesus. Help me to find my purpose. Help me to put away the distractions. Help me push through the pain. And open the door to yes. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody can shout amen and give the Lord praise. Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.